the Supreme Court will decide if marijuana users may be barred from owning guns. On the 2nd of March, the justices will hear their second major Second Amendment case of the Supreme Court's current term. United States vs. Hemeny asks whether Congress may make it a crime for an unlawful user of marijuana to possess a gun. If you are a lawyer trying to guess how the court will rule in this case, good luck with that. The court's Second Amendment precedents are as unsalvageable as they are confusing. At least in theory, they require judges to ask whether a modern-day gun law is sufficiently similar to gun laws from more than 200 years ago. But the rules appear to shift depending on whether a majority of the justices actually think a particular gun law is a good idea. That said, there is a sensible way that the court could resolve the Hemeny case without having to wade into this historical morass. Again, the federal law at issue in Hemeny bars gun possession by an unlawful user of any controlled substance, such as marijuana. But what does it mean to be an unlawful user of marijuana? If someone takes a bong hit in college, decides that they don't like weed, and never gets high again, are they forever barred from owning a gun? What about a person who shares a joint with her cousins every year on Thanksgiving, but otherwise doesn't smoke? And if this law doesn't permanently bar one-time marijuana users from having a gun, when does the bar end? If someone takes a single puff at a party in February, do they get their gun rights back in March, in November? And what about people who use marijuana more than occasionally? If someone takes a weed gummy a couple times a month to help them sleep, are they barred from owning a gun? What about someone who hits a vape pen on every other Saturday? Federal appeals courts, as defendant Ali Hemeny's lawyers argue in his brief, have struggled to answer these questions, reaching divergent answers. That's a serious constitutional problem. The Supreme Court has long held that the government violates due process when it takes away someone's life, liberty, or property under a criminal law so vague that it fails to give ordinary people fair notice of the conduct it punishes. The Supreme Court, in other words, can strike down the vague law in Hemeny without having to dive into the impossible to answer question of whether this law violates the court's unfathomable Second Amendment precedents. The Supreme Court's Second Amendment precedents are as perplexing as they are incompetently drafted. The Second Amendment provides that a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Until fairly recently, the court took the first 13 words of this amendment seriously. As the court said in United States v. Miller in 1939, the obvious purpose of this amendment is to render possible the effectiveness of militias. It must be interpreted and applied with that end in view. But the court abandoned this textualist approach to the Second Amendment in District of Columbia v. Heller in 2008, which held that the central component of the right to bear arms is a personal right to have a gun for self-defense. 14 years later, in New York State Rifle and Pistol Association v. Bruin in 2022, the court's Republican majority announced a new legal framework that applies only in Second Amendment cases and does not resemble any other framework in constitutional law. At least on its face, Bruin requires a government lawyer defending a gun law to demonstrate that the regulation is consistent with this nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation. To do so, the lawyer must show that the gun law they are defending is sufficiently similar to analogous regulations that existed when the Constitution was framed. But the court has struggled to explain how similar a modern law must be to an old one to survive, and a couple of its post-Bruin actions raised doubts about whether the court is applying Bruin in good faith. First, in United States v. Rahimi in 2024, 8 justices upheld a federal law barring gun possession by people subject to a domestic violence restraining order. That's a sensible law. But Bruin held that modern-day gun laws are particularly suspect when they address a general societal problem that has persisted since the 18th century. While violence among romantic partners certainly existed in the 1700s, there were no laws disarming domestic abusers. Indeed, no state made it a crime for someone to beat their spouse until the Alabama Supreme Court did so in 1871. A strict application of Bruin, in other words, would likely have required the court to strike down the law at issue in Rahimi, or but one of the justices who joined the Bruin decision balked at that terrible result. But that suggests they were unable to accept the consequences of their decision in Bruin. Then, in January, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in Wolford v. Lopez, a challenge to a Hawaii law prohibiting gun owners from carrying weapons into private businesses without the owner's permission. There are many historical examples of similar laws from the 18th century, including a New Jersey law barring people from bringing a gun onto another person's land unless he has license or permission in writing from the owner, and similar laws in Pennsylvania and New York. But the Republican justices signaled at oral argument that they are going to strike down Hawaii's law anyway. So it appears that the historical research demanded by Bruin doesn't actually determine how the court decides Second Amendment cases. Instead, the justices appear to decide these cases based on whether they think the challenged law is a good idea. If there is a principled framework to be found in Bruin, moreover, actual judges are struggling to find it. In a concurring opinion in Rahimi, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson quoted a dozen judicial opinions complaining, in the words of one of Trump's judicial appointees, that Bruin's inconsistent and amorphous standard simply does not work. So, if the justices apply the Bruin framework to the law at issue in Hemeny, it's anyone's guess how the court will decide the case. My best guess is that they will probably uphold it, because the Trump administration filed a brief asking them to do so, and that's a pretty good sign that Republicans believe that marijuana users should be prohibited from owning guns. But I have little confidence in the guess, because all Second Amendment cases after Bruin are a law-free zone, seemingly decided on the justices' personal preferences. Hemeny's vagueness argument offers the justices a more sensible way to resolve this case. Rather than trying to resolve Hemeny within Bruin's opaque framework, the justices could avoid the Bruin thicket by striking down the unlawful user law on vagueness grounds. One sign a law is too vague, federal appellate judges cannot agree on a definition of unlawful user of marijuana. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, for example, ruled that a person who used drugs once and possessed a gun 6 hours later could not be convicted, holding that use of drugs with some regularity is required to support a conviction under the unlawful user provision. The Sixth Circuit, meanwhile, requires prosecutors to show that a defendant's drug use is sufficiently consistent, prolonged, and close in time to his gun possession to put him on notice that he qualified as an unlawful user of drugs. The Eighth Circuit, by contrast, holds that prosecutors do not need to present evidence of use over an extended period. Instead, it's enough to show that the defendant used drugs during the period of time that they also possessed a gun. The Trump administration argues that the words unlawful user should be read to apply to habitual drug users. This appears to be an attempt to fit the law within the Bruin framework, because there were early American laws criminalizing habitual drunkards. Serve as a strong argument the law is unconstitutionally vague. If the court disposes of Hemeny on these grounds, it will at least save them from having to apply the arbitrary legal test laid out in Bruin.